All right, good evening and happy podcasting day. I am so excited to be here, and I say that every week, and every week it is true. But I'm still especially pumped because we are smack dab in the middle of summer podcast guest season, which I'm so excited about. So this is Rachel Vogt, and this is Good Girls Guide 2, which you probably already knew if you're here. But if not, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. And if you enjoy what you are getting here, I love that you're here because Anchor is free. You probably know that because you're listening to it, but it's a free podcast platform. So get all your free content right now. And if you dig on the free stuff, if you're not in a place that you can do anything but free, oh my gosh, I spent years there, so I get it. Make sure that you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all at Good Girls Guide 2. That's the easiest way to get in contact with me as well at Gmail account. So Good Girls Guide 2 at Gmail or Facebook Messenger. And don't forget that I've got a great group, 18 years or older, feminine energy. You can learn all about sexual wellness and intimacy building. You can also jump in on the conversation. You can also provide content of your own experience. That's what's my favorite thing about that. So make sure to let me know if you'd like to get an invite. Drop in a huge sale tomorrow. So let me know if you need that invite because you have to get one. You cannot find it. It's a secret group. And up at the end of the month, we'll have empowerment classes. So if something that you are learning about personal development, if you need to restart personal development, I love the course. It's gotten really positive feedback for whether you're entry level or somebody who's taken, you know, some steps into that growth. It's great. You have some focus on your wealth, your relationships, your mental, physical well-being, your spirituality, and your purpose. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, I like to say that because that's not a word. Anyways, one-to-one sessions, they are something that has just been phenomenal. I got off of one today and I feel completely re-energized. And within 30 seconds, she sent me a message, Jess, and she's like, thank you so much for our call. I was like, oh, got me right in the chest. So one-to-one sessions are great because it will very much specifically be about you and your goals and your dreams and the support that you need in that one-to-one session. So hit me up. Hit me up if you're interested. And for God's sakes, don't hesitate to do the work on yourself because you're so deserving of it. I know it's hard to pull the trigger, but you are probably a woman if you struggle on doing that. You're probably a provider if you struggle doing that. You're probably a human being if you struggle filling your cup, but just do it. And I'm so grateful because my good friend Jess Lott is here to actually continue that conversation about a piece to that puzzle. So she's never been on the podcast. This is her first time, and I'm so grateful that she's there. And I asked her to come here. We've been friends for, God, we were just trying to figure this out. I think the last time we spoke to each other, like 6 or 7 years now?
Six years now, I think.
So we know each other. I mean, most of my podcasting guests come on this way. They met me through my my original business and the in-home party consultant. She was actually a team member of that. We've worked together a couple of times since then, and I think I could probably say without a doubt that there was a reason why we were supposed to be working together in each of those capacities. Not necessarily that that was your thing or even some of those things were even my thing, but it just worked out the way that it did. And the most beautiful thing is that, I mean, I've been watching Jess grow, so I've been very fortunate to be a part of that journey. But she, I don't even know if the word has surprised me when you said that you wanted to get together and talk about like the major growth that was going on in your life. I don't even know what the word I could put on. All I remember was sitting there listening to you on that Zoom, and it felt like I had slept with a hanger in my mouth because that's how big the smile was to hear about all your growth and development. And so anyways, I digress. I've asked her to come onto the podcast today to talk about tapping as a modality. And if neither of those things made sense to you, don't worry about it because we're going to talk a little bit about that. But yeah, let's start with that. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what we're here to talk about.
My name is Jess Lott, and like Rachel said, I've known her for 6 years, and yeah, I joined up both of her teams, and I actually had to take a little hiatus because I wanted to be Rachel. She was doing great things, and I wanted that for myself, and I knew that if I kept being so close to you, that I wouldn't ever be my own person. Mm-hmm. And I would always just try to emanate your energy. And I knew that I needed to step away from that and just become myself for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we took a break for a little while. Probably 6-8 months, I think we went, without talking a whole lot, and, yeah. And now we're back. Yeah. And now we can share ideas, and it's great. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. I started tapping. I discovered tapping last fall, actually. And it was just, I had jumped on a free coaching call with someone that I had met via a Facebook group, one of my manifesting Facebook groups. And I can't even tell you what we were talking about, but she said, I want you to tap with me. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? What is this? And she said, dear, you're going to think I'm crazy, but this is amazing. And I think it's going to really help you. The first question she asked me is, you know, I want you to rate what you're feeling right now. I want you to really feel it. And I want you to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. I said, oh, I'm I think I said I was at a 7, you know, like you just rate your feeling, get in that negative feeling. And then we did the tapping, and by the time we were done, it was amazing, and I felt loads better. Mm-hmm. But basically, tapping it's EFT, the emotional freedom technique, and it's an alternative therapy for stress and anxiety, and even like physical or mental pain. It can alleviate all of that with just it's magic. You tap with your fingers on certain meridian points. They're like acupuncture meridians, mm-hmm. Little energy centers of your brain. They connect to different organs and different systems in your body to allow that energy to release. It is based on combined principles of ancient Chinese acupressure and modern psychology. So what you do is you focus on the negative feeling, and you're going to find that root cause of the distress, and then it sends a calming signal to your brain. So then you then become relaxed and in control. And so what happens, tapping is typically used for, well, basically anything. I use it a lot when I'm stressed. I lived in anxiety for 33 years of my life. It was constant. And I didn't know any different. And then I found this and it just melted away. And then I was able to clear everything out and come back to myself. Mm-hmm. I heard a quote actually last night. I think it was Bruce Lee that said it. I'm gonna butcher this. A cup's usefulness is its emptiness. Mm-hmm. Like the main purpose of a cup is its emptiness. Once you clear out all of the crap, you can then fill it up with what you want. So this just kind of allows you to clear all that energy and then really begin to grow and learn about yourself, because you're able to focus on what you need to focus on to heal that. So what happens when you get stressed is the part of your brain called the amygdala is triggered. Mm-hmm. And that amygdala will send... It'll trigger your amygdala. It'll send out the stress hormones, the cortisol, and it sends them out into the bloodstream, triggers the fight or flight or freeze response, and it's not good for us. So we tap while we're thinking about the stress to help your mind understand that you're not in physical danger. You don't need that fight or flight right now. You need to just relax and calm down. You're fine. Then. Actually, there have been studies that have been shown that your cortisol levels actually decrease by 43%, which is amazing. It's magic. And EFT, it can be used to treat stress linked to anxiety, weight gain, sleep problems, chronic pain, digestive issues, depression. It can also help you alleviate fears and build on your relationships and help improve your finances. You can tap on self-love and self-acceptance and emotional and spiritual healing. It's not just for negative feelings. You can clear everything out and bring in that self-love and really get into your body and get that all figured out.
Yeah, as when you say it's magic, it's funny because it quite literally is. And when I read about it on several different platforms by several different creators and artists and everybody that's, you know, into it or whatever, it's funny because we say magic, but it's just a natural part of who we are. And a lot of us just aren't aware that it even exists or that it's there. And I wanted to touch on what you were saying about the fight, flight, and freeze, because... As you were stating, it's really like just like the person who introduced it to you, just like you said to me, and just like the first time I ever heard about tapping as well, it's like this thing is like, stick with me, because I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. There's no effing way. There's no way that something so simplistic and so, you're telling me I'm literally going to take my fingers and I'm going to tap above my eyebrows. I'm going to tap on the side of my temple. Like, this is like the places you're physically touching your body, your collarbone, the side of your back. Like, this is it, y'all. Like, that's what tapping is. And it does sound so crazy, but it's so unbelievably natural that people who teach it stress that they don't know why it's not taught more, because it's not that it's addictive, it's that it works so well, so consistently, time and time and time again, that they don't know why everybody's not doing this.
And you can do it anywhere. I mean, typically when you tap, you create what's called a script, and you speak along while you're tapping to really get that energy going. Mm-hmm. But there have been times, like, if I am waiting in a waiting room somewhere, or in like a doctor's office or something, I can do one point, mm-hmm. and that will help calm me down. Mm-hmm. You know, I can just, and I'll look crazy doing it, but it helps so much.
Yeah.
And I don't give crap what other people think of me.
Yeah. All right. But, so you can either wallow in your anxiety, mm-hmm. and people think you look normal,
or I can do something about it.
Yeah. And people don't think you look normal. So who the fuck cares, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I feel good.
I know. I get that. And that's why I think that it's, like, really important, because as you were what you described earlier, that mesh between psychology meets what it was that you said?
Chinese acupressure?
Yeah, Chinese acupressure. So it's like East meets West.
East meets West.
Yes. Yeah. Which is what we've needed for so long.
And it's a fairly new technique. I mean, it was back in the early 90s that I think his name is Gary Chapman, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he's the one that developed the technique and really ran with it.
Yeah.
It's just completely changed my life. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I never ever thought that I would be here as quickly as I am. I mean, it's known as like the simplest, quickest, fastest, easiest way to relieve your stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was telling Jess, like, because when we got together for the last time, when we were like doing this catch up, and she was like, I'm doing this thing. I'm like, oh my God, tapping. I know about this thing. So just like to let you guys know, like, it's more common than people think, but then it's not at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful that she's here to share this, because this was something that I was introduced to over a decade ago by probably the first really large woo-hoo-y friend that I had, but I didn't really know that they were woo-hoo-y because I wasn't in a headspace to be woo-hoo-y yet, but I was at least open to it. And so she was telling us about it. She walked us through a tapping exercise, and it's bizarrely phenomenal, y'all, because I'm telling you, we'll talk about this with Jess, but you're literally, I mean, you can close your eyes if you want to, you don't even have to, but the way your body feels when you're done, having just sat there touching 5 to 6 points on your body, it's
weird. And the release that you got.
Yes.
The first time I did it, I bawled, and I didn't even know why. Mm. It was just my body releasing all that energy that I have had stored and pent up for years and years and years, and it was finally getting to be released just by activating these points on my body, on my face, mm. you know, and my chest and under my arm and my head. It's so simple, and it just amazed me, and I ran with it.
Yeah, like what you had said. So, like, this is something that I try to drop little seeds of from time to time, because when we talk about dis-ease of body, disease, it literally is dis-ease of your body. And there's things we get right, and there's a lot we get wrong when it comes to the way our bodies feel. And what I have learned to be true in the last year for myself is that it's exactly what you just said, is that yes, there are environmental factors and there's nutritional factors that we're adding to this physical form, but it's much, 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 much more about the energy that we did not heal or even acknowledge and that we're housing in our body, and it gets so tight and it gets so pent up, and that's why the physical masks the way that it does. And I always challenge people, because this is what I read, is like when you say things like, oh my God, my ex is such a pain in my ass, and then you have like a lower back pain, like that's why that manifests that way. Oh my God, I've said that kid is such a headache, and then you get migraines. You're literally doing that to yourself. You're changing that energy in your body that you're housing into the physical form of it. And when we talk about tapping, like I visualize like that quite literal tapping on the points. And it's like you all of a sudden are breaking it up into these little pieces, and it just kind of shatters and it's gone. And it's just so bizarre how it works that way. But there is, like you said, there's some psychology behind what that does as you're tapping each point. And you can go into that. But my question for you is, do you also feel like, because I've only done one official tapping circle, and it was wonderful. It wasn't even an intentional one. Like, I didn't sit down to do it. It just happened to be what it was. Anyways, my point is that I felt like I connected to that message, even though it wasn't my intention before I got there. And part of it, as I work through the tapping, is I feel like it's also just the obvious of giving you and your body and your and everything a second to just woof and actually like respond the way you're supposed to.
Yeah, you're giving yourself permission to feel these feelings.
Yeah.
Especially if you do it in the moment, that's a really good way to really feel that and release it right away without storing it up.
Yeah.
Which I kind of my MO.
Well, but I think that's majority of humans, wouldn't you agree?
Bottle it up.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's weakness, you know, show your emotions, you're weak. Mm-hmm, no. Mm-hmm.
And pride. I think it's a lot about pride too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But a big major thing for me this is a very recent download that I've had is I was asked the question the other day, you know, and I've asked this question a lot. I know when I took your empowerment class, what, 3 years ago? A while ago. Mm-hmm. You know, your perfect day, you know, like what is your ideal day? There was close your eyes and imagine your perfect life. What do you look like? You know, what are your dreams? What do you want to do? Why can't you do it? And I just kept coming back to, it's basically self-sabotage. Everything is self-sabotage. I can do it. But my subconscious brain, there's so many limiting beliefs and old programming and just stuff that I've just collected throughout my whole life that my subconscious has just clung on to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even aware of it. I'm not cognizant of that.
Quite literally your programming.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and you're constantly self-sabotaging and you don't even know it. So my thing is, you know, I want to do the things. I know what I need to do, but I don't do them. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why am I not doing those things? Why am I sabotaging myself? Why am I keeping myself in my comfort zone and keeping myself safe? Why can't I go out there and do those things? So it all comes down to blocks, you know, like you have those energy blocks. And tapping really allows you to get inside your body and find those blocks and release them so that you are able to move out of your comfort zone and you are able to do the scary things that move you on to the great, big, bigger things that you dream of. And then you live the life of your dreams.
Yeah. 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 And so what we had mentioned at the beginning, like, so tapping is one modality. And I think that as you become new to awakening, which is what you had just said, because there's the two levels. Of course, there was the prior us who were asleep and we did everything out of autopilot, and that's that programming. And then now we're in a place where, I mean, I'll never consider myself enlightened. Otherwise, I wouldn't stay in this physical form. I'd get the hell out of here. But we're in this radiant place where we're learning the lessons and we're doing the work and blah, 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 blah. And one of the most beautiful things is, as I start to climb, quote unquote, higher into this spectrum and scale, is that the message is overwhelming universal among people who get that, is that there's not a right way, there's not a wrong way. We're all getting there and we'll all get there in our own way. And this is one modality, but it's also even more beautiful when you mix modalities because none of them were ever meant to be like the one way. So tapping with meditation is proven to be one of the most effective ways to move things along. So if you're doing meditation, you're halfway there. If you're doing tapping, you're halfway there. If you do them together, holy crap, my God.
You meditate after you tap and you are transformed into a different space. Yeah. You're so in your body.
Yeah.
That, and that's how I got into meditation. It was really hard for me to meditate, to shut my brain off. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I'm not doing it right. This isn't working for me. And then, I tried breath work and I'll get there. Yeah. I'm very hesitant about breath work. I don't like the feeling of not being able to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I know I just have to ease into it. I'm just not there yet, but yeah. I have heard wonderful, great things about it.
Right.
When you pair the two together, like I said, it just, your body is so relaxed and so calm, mm-hmm. that yeah, you're really, you can get the downloads, you know, you really feel into yourself and really release all the trauma so that you are able to fill your life back up with the things that you choose.
Yeah. Yeah. What I think that with what's happening to me right now in this moment that we're having this conversation is because obviously, like you said, so that's something I struggle with meditation as well, is like, one, I'm going to say it, not that, that there was anything that you said wrong, but that was my thing too, is I can't shut my brain off when that's really not our intention, is we're not allowed to do that anyway. We're supposed to be monitoring the thoughts. And then that's the woo-hoo-y, that's the spirit, that's the thing that never, it cannot be created nor destroyed. It's going to leave when the physical body stays here on earth. But then when you combine that with the physical body and you're doing that energy work for this physical component, that's the difference of those two. And breaking the pattern, like you had talked about, is that when something happens, for example, let's say you suspect your spouse is cheating on you, your programmed behavior about infidelity is to get insecure, to get really jealous. That's your program. But what tapping, meditation would allow for your spirit self to do would be like, I'm more worthy than this. I know better than this. But then the physical tapping releases the feeling of the abandonment and the jealousy. So again, the two combined is just, you literally transform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And getting rid of that feeling, like when it happens, and being able to get back in that space of I am okay, mm-hmm. makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
You change the way you look at the situation, and you're able to react in a way that is going to be more, I don't know the word. It's going to be better for everybody.
Yeah. You're more genuinely and authentically operating from.
Yes.
You're
coming from your authentic space. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna speak your truth, mm-hmm. but in a calm fashion, you know. You're not, it's not gonna, well, hopefully. Oh, that's the idea. It might take a couple sessions.
But. Yeah. You know, but thank you, universe, for that segue for just a quick second, because I was just doing a coaching with somebody the other day, and that's what. So when you talk about that, speak your truth, it's like it's a cliche phrase, and my husband is annoyed wickedly by it. And it's funny because, like, I will still use it, but there's definitely a shift that's happening for me, is that, yes, this hashtag version of speak your truth has evolved into, I'm going to say this lightly, like a stir the pot kind of thing. Like, I'm going to say what I want to say, and I don't give two fucks about how it affects you, because that's my right. And that is absolutely true. But when you speak your authentic truth, that's more of a place of coming from confidence and understanding of self-value and worth, that I'm going to say this thing, and I understand that it's not to make you feel a certain way. It's because it's now my time to put my boundaries in place. And I'm not coming from a place of vindictiveness to make you feel bad because you're not giving it to me. It's because that I feel confidence to stand in this place and say that to you now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the difference for sure. And not everybody gets it, but the people who do, keep them around.
Yeah. And it's not meant to hurt anybody's feelings, but if it does, that's not your problem.
Right.
You feel how you feel. You're communicating that to them, how they react. That's their shit.
Yeah.
I feel better. I have let my feelings known. What you do with that, that's your prerogative. Right. I'm happy.
Right. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Those two different conversations. I know. I'll say this with my heart, 'cause I know I can, like, you and I can relate. Like, that's us trying to talk to our moms from a language Absolutely. Of development. And it doesn't matter sometimes how much you use the tools you have to process the language that I'm saying, that this is from my perspective and my voice. I'm not saying you made me feel this way. I'm not saying anything along those lines. They can still interpret that way. And so it's sometimes hard, but you still have to go your route so that you can continue to grow.
Yeah. And actually, my mom and I just had that conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to tell you this, and I need you to listen to me. And not get defensive, because this is how I feel, and you can't change that. This is the way I feel, and that's and so it is. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's been a big thing that I've been working on lately too. Is becoming more authentic.
Yeah,
coming more into my authentic self.
Authentic self, and I really in confrontation. Would you say?
I used to avoid it at all costs, and now I embrace it.
Well, I still avoid it.
This is a learning opportunity for me.
I still avoid it. But,
although, I mean, I have a very, 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 very small circle now, thank you, pandemic. But with working from home, you know, I don't come into contact with a lot of people, so it's a lot easier for me to feel like I am my authentic self, because I don't have to. And I guess in a way it's harder, though, at the same time. I know what I need to do, but then once I get in those situations, you know, what am I going to do? I don't know. Mm-hmm. you know, am I going to revert back to my old programming or am I going to stick with this new stuff? So that's going to be something that's interesting for when I break out of my shell and become more social.
Yeah. You can probably see the perplexedness that's coming up on my face because, like, I think about this a lot, like, with people that, like, because most, well, I mean, it is a mix. It's a bag of some people that I work with who have known me all along and then some people who've only seen me in this capacity. And so what you're talking about, like, I'm trying to, at first I was trying to think, like, so do I do that, like, with my old clients and my old team members, even people in my life, do I still show up as 2018 Rachel? And I feel like, if I had to be honest with myself, I think that the relationships that really run deep, especially the ones that were existent during my trauma, that I probably still walk on eggshells and tiptoe around more. But these other relationships, I think it's probably because I know either that I am going to be accepted and that this has been validated by these other people, that this is the right path for me, or again, without maliciousness, I don't care if it does or does not. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see how I'm going to react once I'm reintroduced into society.
Yeah. I think you'll be surprised though. I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll lead more with your identity of who you are now because you're comfortable in it.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that happens. I know I still, it's a long road. It never ends.
Oh yeah.
And I'll forever be working on just being the best version of myself that I can in that moment with what I have, you know, with everything that I know in that, mm-hmm. in that time. But I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Well, curiosity is better than having anxiety over it, right?
Yeah. No anxiety here.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Never thought I'd say that.
Yeah. But I do want to, I'm going to take it actually all the way back to the very beginning. It was one of the very first things you said I wrote down. Because I think it resonated very heavily with me and I hope that it will resonate with other people because what you had said is that you needed to take a step back because you were wanting to be me. And you did not even say it like that when we had our Zoom the first time. I'm going to tell the people what you said because it resonated so heavily with me because you said something, I don't have the quote exactly right, but that I was validating you too much to a degree.
Would
you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. And so that's,
you were almost enabling.
Yeah. And I didn't know it.
And I didn't eat until I got into this, you know, it was about this time last summer when we started doing the CBD and I got into Jesse Lee Ward and then I shifted over to my other, you know, my manifestation stuff. And then it just blew up down the rabbit hole from there.
Right.
Little old Alice falling down there. But yeah, I realized in that moment that I admired you so much and I wanted your journey mm-hmm. and I was comparing myself to you. And that was, it was hard for me because I'm not you, you know, obviously, but you were back when I met you, you were a big girl just like me, mm-hmm. you know, but you were gorgeous and you were confident and you were sexy and you just emanated everything that I wanted. I saw in you. And that is another thing, the whole, you know, you were, you project onto people, mm-hmm. you know? And I saw all of that stuff in you and I wanted that. Oh, I wanted that so bad. So I joined PR, you know, and that didn't work out because I'm not you.
Right.
And I learned that pretty quick. And then we got into CBD and that was more for me, but still I, you know, little baby monkey on mama's back, you know, mm-hmm. I was relying on you for so much and I didn't know it.
And I didn't either.
And you know, you're doing so good, you know, and just hearing you tell me, you know, you're doing great, you're awake, welcome to the club, I'm accepted, you know? And then I got into it and I was just like, hold up, this is not a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And although I admire Rachel, I need to step away from her and let her do her thing so I can do mine. And then I took a completely different path than you. Mm-hmm. And now we, through the universe, wound up right back where we started, mm-hmm. kind of, just in a higher level of consciousness.
Yeah. You hit it perfectly. I mean, on all aspects. So when you said what you just said, it humbled me. Thank you. It was very kind. But I remember one time another team member said that same thing. She literally said, I was her and me at her party and one other person. So it was three of us total. And she joined anyway. I shouldn't say anyway, because we obviously did something right, but it was, she said the same thing. She said, I wanted to be you. And that's very flattering. And I have always said, I hate when people say that. And that is true. That is true, because I want you to be you. But I do also think that there is obviously validation when people say, like, your lifestyle looks appealing to me. Especially because when you say you are this and that and that, I'm like over here rolling my eyes. I'm like, I was not confident. What the fuck are you talking about? I was so insecure. Didn't even know it, though. You know, it came off of arrogance is where I was masking from. But my point is that then you even you noted Jesse Lee Ward. Same freaking thing happened to me, was that I admired this person and I saw this lifestyle that looked happy and looked fulfilled. She was passionate about something and I wanted that level of passion in my business so that I could deem myself successful, because that's where my identity was coming from. And I had to do the same thing. So it's literally becoming like this full circle moment for me, because when you said I had to back off from this relationship because it was basically enabling, like, that 2018 Rachel would have been hurt by that statement. I would have been very hurt by what you just said, because I would have taken it personally. Like, but I didn't do anything wrong. I know I didn't do anything wrong.
You did everything right.
Yes, I was loving you unconditionally, but that wasn't what you needed at the time. It was keeping you in a place instead of helping you grow, which is so bonkers considering, you know, what my intention was. But it's so powerful that you made that connection. It's even more powerful, dare I say, that you could come back to me and tell me that, and I could see that from a sense of great for you, and not how could she not keep following me? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah. I just, to become my own person, I had to become my own person.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to be you. I want to be me.
Yeah.
And I want to be me and all my meanness.
Yes. Yes. And that is beautiful, because again, yeah, 2018 Rachel probably would still sit there and say, but I want you to be a little bit like me. Why can't you be on my team or do this other thing? But that was the whole reason I made the announcement of walking away from recruiting from either business, because what you said was something that already hit me in the heart, but I couldn't, I mean, I said it, but I couldn't articulate it to the level that you just did, which is exactly what the problem with any, I'm going to say this even though I'm still in the industry, but that's why I don't recruit, is because it's not about trying to get a million people to sign up to be intimacy coaches, or a million people to be selling CBD, or a million people to be drinking ketones, because that's not really what they're in it for. They're not in it for that. They're in it for the confidence and the growth and all those things that you're mirroring for them that they need, and their own capacity to put them on their own path of true fulfillment, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that too. I had to take a step back, and I will say, like, I have to say it, because I want my karma to be cleared. I still watch Jesse Lee Ward every day. I still follow her. She still, you know, motivates me on that level. I'll never have that level of motivation to work that hard. I will not. I know that to be true.
She is a boss.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
It's almost unsustainable how much energy she has.
I know. And that's her gift for sure. And that's why I watch that, because that part of me is inspired by that. But just like you said, it was like a huge slap upside the head for me just recently, like less than 6 months, where I was like, but that's not what's going to make me happy, is to work 60 hours a week. And I thought it would. I truly did. And that's why I followed the path. So you did it and I did it too. And what you had said, I'm going to just piggyback real quick too, is that it doesn't stop, right? Like, for you to follow me, who I would consider myself a very humble Midwestern person with literally a small business, for me to follow her with multi-million dollar businesses and still get that same message and still be okay and still be able to go, okay, well, I'm gonna live my life now. That's fucking cool.
That's you being your authentic self.
That's right. And accepting that it's okay and not feeling that there's any lack, because it doesn't mirror what I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. But you know what? That's where you need to be right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you are where you need to be.
Yeah.
At any point in time.
Yep. And I'm okay with that now. 2018 Rachel definitely would not have been. I need to be farther, faster, whatever, whatever. So thanks for that conversation and being able to validate. I appreciate that. So you fell in love with the modality. I still feel like I'm somebody, I flounder between all modalities. I appreciate them. I will say that the most solid meditation for a couple of years now, but then adding tapping into my meditation probably 4 or 5 months ago, pretty solidly. And I do it every morning. So is tapping primarily your modality? Do you mix and match? What do you like to do?
Every morning, well, I try to every morning. I read a book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Mm-hmm. And I incorporate the savers into my day. Not necessarily all in the morning, but throughout my day, I do my savers. So I journal. I try to journal every day. That's probably my main way of just dumping everything out. Mm-hmm. So I'll journal, and then I'll tap, and then I'll meditate. And that just kind of helps me get into the the flow. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go for a walk, and then I'll come back and I'll jump in the shower, and while I'm in the shower, I'll do my visualizations. Mm-hmm. And I just picture what my life looks like, what I want my life to be. You know, if my life were my dream life right now, what would I be doing? You know, what would I look like? What would my shower look like? You know, I want a 360, you know, I want shower heads from every direction. You know, I want a sauna in my bathroom. I just imagine that. And, I go for a walk about 30, 45 minutes. But everything else is just about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes is what I spend on it. And then I'm just in the zone for my day. Did I get them all?
Yeah,
I got them all.
So what time does your morning routine start?
5:30.
But you also work a corporate job, right?
What's that?
You also work a corporate job, right?
Yeah. But the fun thing about my job is I work remotely from home, and I can make up my own hours. So whenever I want to work, I work. Mm. As long as I get my hours in for the week, then I'm good.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, if I like to keep everything pretty routine, just because I thrive on routine. And when my routine is thrown off, like this morning, I didn't get up until 6:30 and my day was shot. I tried to get started and it was not happening. But I made the mistake and checked my phone first thing in the morning, and that just, So typically, and then yoga, I do, after I get done with my walking, I come back and I do yoga, and that really allows me to get back. And then I jump in the shower, calm my body down, relax it a little bit before I get in there. But
gotcha. What time is your routine over?
It depends on the day. Sometimes if I do my hair and makeup, it could be 9:00. But typically I like to be done by 7:30.
Yeah. So
just so that I can
get
the kids up and going and get going with work. And
yeah. So obviously I scoff at the hour, because that's just, it's just not Rachel. And I did that too. Tried to force the getting up early, and I would do the work, but I was miserable. And so I'll be very sad when summer's over and I do have to start getting back up early. But I
don't have a choice. My body just, I've been doing it for so long that it's my circadian rhythm is just, mm-hmm. you know, when the sun comes up, I'm up.
Parts of me wish that it would, but most of me is so glad that it doesn't. But it's the same, you know, like what you're talking about. Like, I just don't think that when we talk about a morning routine, I think that that's kind of clichely what people tend to go back to, is that productivity kind of morning. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, my husband is very much the same. Like, he would rather get up and go to work and come home and be done. Rachel would rather have a leisurely stroll in the morning before putting my mind to work. And that's part of my ideal day. I have always had that written in, is that I wake up when I want to, I meditate right away, the same things that you had talked about. And I do that now. I like get to sit on my porch and look at my garden growing. It's not different. So people, if you really could understand like just these tiny little tweaks, that it's so good for you. Like, for those of you that are forcing yourself to go to the gym and you're like, I fucking hate it, then don't go to the gym.
Then
find
don't do
something
it.
That works.
Stop. That's not going to give you anything.
Yes.
You're just hurting yourself.
Yeah. Because you think
you need
to fit in
that mold.
If
you don't feel called to do it, then don't waste your time and your energy. Do something. Use that time and energy on something that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, go for a run outside. You know, go.
Anything.
I don't know. Yeah.
Jump on a trampoline, whatever it is.
Mow your lawn.
Yeah, exactly. You got to figure it out. But when you talked about like the visualization in the shower, like this is another thing too, is that, you know, some people like, oh, I can't do the journaling or I can't do the
breathing. I do my affirmations in the shower too.
Yeah. So obviously a perfect time to be able to do them. But one thing that I still try, like, you know, when people are like, I can't do it. It's like, well, you're thinking about something anyway. You are thinking about something, whether it's mindlessly or not, so you might as well choose your focus. And even if you don't believe in the woo-hoo of the visualization, isn't it a better feeling to dream of your ideal day than to focus on all the bills you have to pay and all those phone calls you have to make back as soon as you get out of the shower?
Yeah, and that you said something, you know, your thoughts. That has been a big, big thing for me lately, is becoming aware of the thoughts that are running through my head.
Right.
And catching them.
Yes.
You know, ooh, you're going to wear that? Mm-hmm. Nope. You know, I thank you for making yourself known, but you no longer serve me.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
damn, you're sexy. God, look at you. Yeah, you're going to wear that. Yeah. And you're going to fucking wear that.
Yeah.
And the more I catch those negative thoughts, you know, and the more I can release them, you know, you no longer serve me. Replace it with a thought that makes me feel good. I'm going to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Those negative thoughts are going to become more and more apparent, and I'm going to keep changing them all until I get to where I want to be.
Right. Yeah, that monkey mind chatterbox, it'll get you. Mm. And it's there for everybody, and most of us don't ever stop to think about it. So, like you had said, like, that's one of the hardest, I think, is discovering it first and even understanding that there's something running in your background, because most of us don't even pay attention to it. When you become aware of it, it becomes then just listening without judgment, because you can't change it right away. If you try to fight it, it will fight back harder. So you just listen without judgment, and then you become friends with it. Like you had just said, you accept what its role is, which is to protect you and keep you safe. It's just not necessary in 2021. We're not getting chased by lions and tigers anymore. Thank you for the input. I appreciate it, but I'm going to try this other thing. That's all you have to do, is give it space to say its thing. And then it's like, okay, I'm appeased. That's it. I'm done.
And don't shame it.
Yep.
You know, just let it be. Yep. It's there. Yep. And it is. So it is. Mm-hmm. Just let it be and bring in something new.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the process of tapping. So as we were yes. discussing, it's obviously a little bit harder because nobody can see us, but we're doing, but like as we were discussing, you're tapping quite literally on meridian points. So walk us mm-hmm. through, I mean, there's several, most people have like routines. Do you tap specifically based on mm-hmm. what are they correlated to? Tell us a little bit about that.
Ooh, that I'm not into yet. I can't. I know that under your eye is correlated to your stomach. Mm-hmm. I know that the top of your head pretty much connects to everything.
Right.
So that's why if I'm in the doctor's office or if I just get anxious out in public, I start tapping on my head, and that communicates to, it connects to everything.
It's like a failsafe.
And it just, yeah, it just, it's. The quickest, fastest way to just, without having to go through the cycle, because then, I mean, you will get looks if you, you know, people will think you're crazy, which is their, you know, that's their problem,
yeah.
not mine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll tap the top of my head, but I'm not there yet in where everything is, where everything else is, but, you usually start with a karate chop is what they call it. And that is like the meaty part of your hand. Underneath your, between your wrist and your pinky, and you just hold your hand flat and you karate chop your other hand. Mm-hmm. And while you do this, you say what we call a setup statement. So let's say you're mad at Tony. Mm-hmm. He did something. He pissed you off.
Yeah.
He didn't take out the trash, and okay. the dog got into it, and now there's trash everywhere.
Okay.
So you're pissed. You come home and the house is a mess. So you're like, even though I am pissed off at my husband right now and my house is a mess and I'm just angry about it, I fully and completely love and accept myself.
That's always the setup statement. You say that statement. Right? Yep.
Yep. And you say that statement
three times. Why there? You know, like why on that meridian point?
Because that's what you do.
Yeah, I was just curious. I know. we alluded to it, but if you didn't catch on, that this was a modality that Jess is very much into, that she's becoming certified. So yeah, so you don't have to know why it works or how it works. It does work. FYI, I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to the audience, of course. But but yeah. So I was just curious. So yes, don't feel like you have to know everything. I know that you're learning. So you start with your setup statement.
Someday I will. Yeah, I'll be able to tell you.
You come back and run class. It's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then you say your setup statement, but first you want to gauge where you're at. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to rate your feeling on the scale of 1 to 10. So you're at a 7, you're mad.
Okay.
So you know, I can fully and completely love and accept myself. That is the key. So even though you feel this negative emotion, it's okay. You are safe. You know, there's nothing wrong with feeling that negative emotion. You are completely and fully honored and loved and whole, even if you're feeling that. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the other meridian points, and you start at the eyebrow. Where your eyebrow begins, closest to the bridge of your nose. Mm-hmm. So like right where that, there's a little, it's hard to do.
It's like your caveman forehead hangover.
Yeah. It's just right where, and then you just tap there.
Yeah.
Just 5 to 7 times. So you'd be like, God, you know, I fully and completely love my accepted self. And then you go up here and you're like, you know, he just really, really made me angry.
So then you start to switch the side of your eye. Like why you feel the way you feel.
Yeah. You just get it all out there. Gotcha. Whatever comes to your mind, you know, why are you angry? Hmm. I'm mad because, you know, he didn't take out the trash and the dog got into it. There's trash everywhere. And,
it's messy. I have to clean it up.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, so you work through your emotions, speak it out loud while you're tapping on these points.
Okay.
So then you go to the side of your eye and that'll be the bone directly along the outside of your eye. Mm-hmm. So right where your eye socket is on the side.
Yeah.
And then you'll go under your eye mm-hmm. to the bone directly under your eye.
Right.
Then you go to your nose under your nose, above your upper lip.
Yeah.
Then you go down to your chin below your lower lip, right in that crease.
Yep.
Then you do your collarbone mm-hmm. and that one's a little tricky. So I use my open hand. So I get all of it. But it's basically where your collarbones meet.
Gotcha.
You go down an inch and over an inch.
Okay.
And those are the spots you want to tap. So I just do open palms. So I make sure that I get them because.
Yeah.
Then you go under your arm.
Yeah.
Yep. So you pick up your arm, tap under your armpit. Mm-hmm. So like where your underwire would sit.
Yes.
That is the spot you want to tap. And that is also a powerful spot.
Yeah.
And then you go from your armpit to the crown of your head. And that'll feel your armpit and your head, they'll be a little bit tender when you're tapping, and it's supposed to be like that. Mm. It should never be painful, but it might be a little uncomfortable, but not anything horrible.
Sure.
So then, the entire time you're tapping, you just think about this problem and how you feel about it right now in this moment. Mm-hmm. And then you just work through it.
Yeah.
When you're done, you rate your feelings again on a scale of 1 to 10. So let's say you're now at a 4. Yeah. You know, you're still a little bit angry. You can go through it again. So you go through your whole cycle again, and now you're down to a 2. Now you feel so much better. Now you can go talk to Tony and tell him it's upset without yelling at him and ripping his head off. Mm. And you're gonna, you know,
it's from the place you'd want to deliver the message anyway, instead of the place that
you don't want the conflict, but you want to be heard and you want to be, you know.
Yeah.
So then you're able to calmly and rationally discuss your problem without feeling all of the.
The
heaviness of it.
Yeah. Y'all, I'm telling you, we got about 10 minutes left. And like I said, like the first time I was ever exposed to this, there was no background. There was not even like, I didn't even understand it was a modality. Like I wasn't even into enough of meditation and yoga. I knew what yoga was, but to not even know what that was. And I'm telling you, that first session, my cousin was 6 years older, younger than me at the time. And we both walked away. We just going like, I don't even know what that was, but it just felt nice. And then for whatever reason, it was given to me and given to me and given to me over the next 10 years and still nothing. And then the friend who introduced it to me had reached back out and was like, hey, my friend is teaching these classes. I really think you should get into it. Have you tried tapping? And I'm like, nah, I'll do it someday. I even bought a book for my husband to try it on our bonus son because he had anxiety and was having trouble falling asleep at night. And he had started doing some tapping with him, and I still didn't even do it for myself. And then when I was finally like, I don't know what was holding me back, I did read this book, by the way. I highly recommend it. It's called Bliss Brain by Dawson Church. And he wrote another one. I don't remember what the other one is, but they both talk so heavily about meditation and the woo-hoo and the nonlinear. But he's a psychologist, so he comes from both sides of the fence. And I think that was such a strong, powerful book to really draw me into it. And then when I took my first circle, what is it? Is that what it's called? Tapping circle, right? Tapping circle. Like I said, it was an accidental. It wasn't intentional. It was about putting on weight during COVID. So I just was like, oh, this is cool. I'll just take this. And so didn't really specifically have any relation to what I was going through at the time. But during the tapping, which was not specific to me because it was a generic circle, right? I could 1000% go, oh my God, yeah, I can see where I'd even relate to those feelings and emotions during a pandemic around my food, especially as somebody who struggles with that. Oh my God, I had not even realized that I was substituting or doing that behavior or not recognizing that in that behavior. And so just taking the class itself was relieving, but the feeling alone, by the time I was done, I was like, I know that I'm not going to go eat food tonight. Like, I just know.
And you can, it peels back the layers.
Yeah.
You know, like an onion. And you can see what is really, like, what is the root cause of this? Mm-hmm. Why am I really feeling this way?
Yeah.
And then you're allowed to clear that out and make room for something new.
Yeah. So you feel like doing like a tapping session, because as you had mentioned, you go through your meridian points, you re-gauge your number. If you need to, if you're not where you can talk to somebody about it at a level, you re-tap. So since my experience in the actual classes are kind of limited, do you feel like, I think I might know the answer to this too, like a session itself, like it could be a one and done tapping and like you're done. Like you've fixed that problematic behavior for forever and for life. And some of them, you might have to come back and re-tap. You might have to come back and re-tap. And some of them might be lifelong tapping sessions. Would you agree? Is there some...
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. There's, you know, you've got your big T trauma and your little T trauma. Mm-hmm. If you have big T trauma, I do not recommend doing tapping on your own. Get a practitioner, because there is a risk of being re-traumatized, and nobody wants that.
Gotcha.
I forgot the question.
Well, we were talking about like the difference between like needing to do a session once or several times.
Yeah, there we go. So I don't have a big T trauma. I just have little T traumas and I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons I got into tapping, was because I know I've got shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember my childhood. I remember bits and pieces of it, but I don't, you know, when people say, I remember when I was 5 years old and this person said this to me and that scarred me for life. You know, this is why I do the thing that I do. I don't have that. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember, my ex-husband. He'll say, we've been divorced for, well, we were together 10 years ago. Mm. And he'll say, do you remember the one time we went and did this and this and this and this and this happened? And I'm like, I don't remember that at all. And that was, you know, I probably should remember something like that, but no, that was just fairly recent that we had that conversation. And I was just like, I don't think that I can go back. Like, there's so much that I want to fix in myself that I want to release, but I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm creating a new identity for myself. I am changing the way that I show up in the world, and I want to do that, but I need to figure out a way that I can actually make that happen.
Yeah.
Because my subconscious is sabotaging me.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm not even aware of it.
Yeah.
So the main reason I got into tapping was to be able to tap into all of that stuff and be able to start to bring it up so that I can have that experience and I can clear that out and I can, you know, choose my identity and I can break out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, I can love myself and I can be all the things that I want to be. And this is the way that resonates with me right now,
right,
to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you talk about big T, little T trauma, you know, I've said that several times because it's hard because obviously it's never about a comparison and we never take away from big T trauma. But I believe that, I mean, for a while that wasn't even something we were addressing at all, right? Like addictions and sexual abuse and physical trauma, we weren't addressing any of it. And then when that came to light where it's like, whoa, 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 this is something that we need to be talking about as a society, then the subtle, sneaky little traumas weren't even things that we were aware of. And I would agree, like, I don't think I have very big T trauma either, but it's those subtle things. One, we didn't think we were deserving of having trauma. Like, we couldn't classify it as it. But two, like you had said, it's so embedded in everything that we are, that it's not one particular instance where that person did that thing to me. It's that person was a part of my life and repeated that behavior. So it is ingrained in who I am.
For 30 years.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whew, that's a big one, I think.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, and we cling to that stuff, you know, we cling to that for protection and being able to get rid of that. It's scary as hell.
Yeah. Well, cause you said I'm trying to create who I am. I hear what you're saying and I know what other people, we say that, but it kind of goes back to that hashtag speak your truth. You're not creating who you're, like, you already are that person. It's that onion. They're peeling away those realities.
I'm talking more, there. You know, like how I perceive myself. Mm-hmm. I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that now that's not true. but I've heard it for so long. You know, if the person is doing the things that I'm doing, they're lazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm working my ass off. And then as soon as I sit down to rest, I feel guilty because I'm not doing anything.
Right, right, right.
And so I'm working to shift that, you know, I'm not lazy. I'm productive, you know, I am the fat girl, you know, I have always been the fat girl and I don't want to be the fat girl. I have done all the diets. I have done all the exercise. You know, I can't ever stick with it because I'm safe being the fat girl. Absolutely. I don't know how to be anything else.
Yes, absolutely.
What is going to happen when I don't have that level, that layer of security?
You know, oh my God, to see me for me.
Yeah. So, and it's just I'm changing the way that I think about myself.
Yes.
You know, thoughts are things.
Yes.
You think it, it happens, no matter what. Thoughts, they create their own energy, but that's a conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But you think it and it happens.
Yeah.
And you have to think those thoughts from a good place and not a negative place.
You have to become aware of those thoughts and choose that.
I am, instead of saying I'm the fat girl, now it's, I am mentally and physically healthy.
Yeah.
And I work every day to improve my mental and physical health.
Woof. I love it. It's good stuff.
You know, just the little changes, just change the way you think about things.
Right.
And they'll change.
Yeah. You don't have any choice other. Like when you start planting those seeds for yourself, you truly move towards the better or you move towards the worse. Cause once you're actively in it, there's no ambivalence anymore. It just is one or the other. So wow, that was a really good conversation. And I really, really hope that people got something from it. If you're curious about tapping, I'm going to make sure to have Jess's info in the bio. And as you know, as we've mentioned, is something that she's on her way towards. So don't bombard her and like try to get her to do a class for you. But
hey, I've got resources.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Starting someplace. So we will make sure to have you back on the podcast so you can fill us in on what your journey is like, where you're going, even if it's before you're completely certified, so we can just catch the people up. I love, love, love having other people that are going through the growth and spiritual journey process because, like you had mentioned, it's just part of that validation of somebody else had just said to me recently, like, I take everything you say for gospel. And we both laughed about that because we knew she wasn't serious, but she was kind of serious. And it was like, no, like you had said, it's like, I'm not your healer. I'm just here to hold space for you to learn how to heal for yourself. And it was ultimately what I want anyway. So the ego checks bringing me down a peg or two from time to time before I get up on that peg is so necessary and so important for who I want to be. So I appreciate everything that you brought to the table today and look forward for you coming back to let us know what's going on. Let them know one more time, you know, where can they find you? Is there a place they might be able to follow your journey?
Jessica.lot on Instagram.
Whoop, whoop. Do it. For sure.
I'm not very active, but I'm trying.
Yeah, but yeah, it's always a place to start. It's always a place to start, for sure. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much for being here. I already let y'all know about where you can find me. You know how to do that anyway at the beginning of the podcast if necessary, but we will have Jess back on the show to let us know what's going on. And we appreciate you being here. We want to help you stay happy, to stay healthy, and wash your hands. Bye-bye.